This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War of the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons tuning in, we're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe. Then the computer, so I'm as fresh as I can get. And
okay,
folks, we're going to start from the top. We're live today with Evangelist Robert Avila, coming to you from Sweden here on Wednesday, April 17, 2024. Would you pray again for us, Brother Robert?
Holy Father in heaven, we ask you, Lord, to watch over the American people, to watch over the Christians all around the world, to protect us, Father, from the evil plans of the enemy. And we pray, Lord, that you will activate the prayer warriors and you will bless their prayers to destroy works of the enemy and to protect those who are innocent and those amongst the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Welcome back, Robert. And what will you be talking about today?
I'm going to talk about the plans of the enemy to start a war with Iran and at the same time drop a nuclear bomb on Washington, D.C. These are prophetic words that have been around for more than 40 years. And I've prayed about it. I've seen these things as well, independently, before I ever heard anyone else warning about it. And I'm going to talk about those again today, and how the first two attempts were broken. And then I'm going to encourage everyone to fight this again, to destroy things in the spirit, to thwart the plans of the enemy.
Well, with that, take it away. The mic is yours.
Okay. Now, one of the first things the Holy Spirit taught me many years ago, it was sufficiently, more than a decade after I'd been saved, but I was in the Middle East. I was at war. I was in the army. And somebody said in the office where I was working, oh, this is like Thermopylae. I thought, how is this like Thermopylae? That doesn't make any sense. And I didn't think much of it. And then the next day, someone else said, oh, this is just like Thermopylae. And I thought, it absolutely isn't. Like our position, what we're doing, this is not a good analogy for the Battle of Thermopylae, where the Spartans and other Greek soldiers held off whatever 500,000 Persian soldiers, a vast army, some say 1 million. At a narrow pass in the mountains near the sea. Like, this is not what we're doing here, working out of a port. This is not anywhere like that. It's not like that at all. But then I thought, you know what? Sometimes that's how God is getting our attention. Somebody just says something, and God wants you to pay attention and listen. So I said, okay, if someone else mentions this, I'm going to ask him, what are you talking about? So Later that same evening, not even a few hours after I determined to make an inquiry, I was passing through a door. There's a young soldier coming the opposite way, and he says, "Oh, Sergeant, this is just like Thermopylae." And I stopped him. I said, "Explain to me why it's like Thermopylae." And he was confounded. He said, "Well, I don't know. I'm not even." I said, "Then why'd you say that?" He said, "You know what? I don't know that either." And I was like, "Okay, God's speaking to me. I need to learn about Thermopylae." And I really researched it. And what I found was, and this was years before they made a bunch of movies about the 300 and the Spartans and whatnot. But the true story is that the Spartans had two kings. They had a system where they had two kings kind of check each other, keep some balance. And one of these kings' names was Leonidas. And just the name means the son of the lion. So this kind of makes it sounds like the son of God, right? There's like an easy parallel to kind of see there and infer. And so Leonidas gets this prophecy that the Persians are coming back. So the Xerxes the First had attempted a full-scale invasion of Greece, and he had failed. And now his son, Xerxes the Second, is building a big army. And there's been a prophecy, not from a godly source, from a pagan, but a prophecy nonetheless. And it says, the Greeks must lose a king, or they all perish. And Leonidas kind of ends up taking this on his own head when he says, "Okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to meet the Persians at Thermopylae," which was this place called the Hot Gates, a narrow pass in the mountains. And he goes up there, and there ends up being so many parallels. After the battle, the king Xerxes had Leonidas's body found, and he crucified the body. So Leonidas also gets crucified. It's one king lost to save everyone, right? Easy parallel there to Jesus Christ dying once and for all. So there's just, I decided I would call like an historical prophecy. And then I was aware of things in the Bible where God says, "Bury this underwear. That's how my people look, you know, once it gets rotten 40 days later," or, you know, "Bang these arrows on the ground and shoot an arrow out the window. And that represents how you're going to defeat the enemy." And so there are these kind of interesting parallels where something happens in the world and that reflects on something else. So they know that these Persians are coming, but they end up coming 2 years early. And that was kind of the thing that I really grasped onto was, first of all, the interesting parallels between Jesus and King Leonidas. And then also the fact that they knew it was coming. Like, we know, like, God is showing us. He's speaking to his people. God does nothing without first warning through his servants, the watchmen. And we know that this war is coming, but when? Well, what happened in their case was it came early, and they thought they would come by sea, but they came by land. But other things happened as well. There was a supernatural storm sunk. The Greeks had started to build an army. It wasn't large enough, but a massive storm came and sank the Persian fleet. So that element of their invasion was destroyed, like right in the beginning. Some elements remained, but it was nothing. It was insignificant as to the outcome of the final war. So all these things happened, and this was God was starting to show me, like, hey, the Persians have been a threat to Western civilization throughout the last 2,000 years. Like, they're a serious issue. So, you know, things repeat in history. We know this. You know, you read the Proverbs and you see, like, hey, what has happened before will happen again, and such things like this. So, but God has been showing me over 30 years that this war is coming with Russia, China, and Iran. So recently we see Iran in the news attacking Israel. Now, this is kind of a surprise. They've always been doing it by proxy with Hamas, with Hezbollah, giving them rockets and everything like this. So this plan is not coming simply from Tehran. This is a plan coming from a global coalition of corrupt people. Some call them the deep state. I call them secret society Satanists. I feel like that term is the most accurate. It tells you exactly who we're talking about. They're Satanists, and they are formed in secret societies, Freemasonry, Knights Templar, other things like this, Jesuits, right? These people are going out manipulating the world. There are agents, there are agent saboteur, they're ruining churches, ruining governments, creating wars, and their objective is outlined in the Satanic Bible. The Satanists want to build a new world order, and one of the ways they want to do that is to destroy the nations, to say, well, we need one global government, and then there can be no war. Everybody's just one government against the other, but if there's one government, who would we go to war against? So they're going to have some kind of a justification to establish this thing. Now, Michael Cummins was talking about the Mahdi and the Antichrist. Well, I've studied this. You know, I was an Arabic translator in the Middle East, and I've studied the Mahdi. The prophecy, the Muslim prophecies of the Mahdi match biblical descriptions of the Antichrist. He will come up out of the ground. He will be wounded and have one eye left afterward. Things like this, right? He will assemble a massive army. He will go against the Mahdi. He goes and conquers most of the world, it says. Like, I've went and looked at it. It doesn't say he conquers the whole world. It says most of the world. Even their prophecies, like, concede that he fails. He fails in his big objective, right? So they're the same person. The Mahdi and the Antichrist are the same person. Now, another thing the Holy Spirit taught me recently that he wanted me to share in this message today is that the mark of the beast is, in English, 666, three symbols all the same. But in the original Greek, there are three symbols, and each one is unique. The symbol for 600 looks like a kind of an X. It's often symbolized intentionally as crossed swords, but that is not how it was originally drawn. The way it was originally drawn, it actually looks like DNA during meiosis or mitosis, when it's lined up on the metaphase plate and about to separate into two new, recently recombined chromosomes. That's what that looks like. If you go look it up, look for the original Greek, or you can find my video. It's called something like 666. It's not what you think. I've posted it recently on my Facebook page. You can find it there, or my YouTube channel, No Jesus, No Peace. So the next two letters, if you turn them sideways, look exactly like the Arabic informal writing method, which says Bismillah, in the name of Allah. That's what it looks like. So it looks like war in the name of Allah, or altering the DNA in the name of Allah. So recently we've seen Hamas on all the news, a lot of clips going around. And they've got the green bandana on their forehead, and it says the name of Allah. You know, there's no greater God than Allah. Muhammad is a prophet. It says this right across their head in Arabic. But it has the name of a demon on there, Allah. And I'm just wondering, you know, it's psychological front loading for these people to put a name on their forehead. And their prophecies also, but just to see where we are, to help you understand where we are, the prophecies of the Mahdi are that he forms a great army, and they ride out under a black banner, which should be your clue that you're not with the good guys, right? With the black banner, right? Always been some symbol of evil and darkness. Pirates have used it in the past, right? Murderers and thieves and killers. But in my opinion, I think it's easy to call Muhammad a land pirate. That's who he was. So ISIS now has these black flags. There are other groups in the Middle East using black flags, and people are getting excited. Oh, it's the fulfillment of prophecy. And so they want to go out, and when the Antichrist comes, they're going to say, this is our leader, and they will follow him. And you look at recently, the Palestinian flag is everywhere, and what are the four colors of that flag? Black, yellow, red, and white. And what in the Bible, where do those four colors occur? The four horsemen of the apocalypse. Iran also has three of those colors. They don't have black, but they have the other three. And we're looking at some biblical hints that are included in there, where if you're looking at the news and you're looking at the Bible at the same time, which is one more reason we should constantly be reading the Bible, listening to scripture, praying constantly, having that communion with God, is that he's going to tell us things, we're going to see things, and we're going to recognize it in the scripture, and we're going to begin to understand the picture that God painted for us in the verses that he gave. So, in 2014, Russia invaded Ukraine. I was there and living in Kiev with my wife. And there was a big deal about making peace. Everybody wanted to make peace. So they agreed to a meeting in Minsk, the capital of Belarus. This was called Minsk One. And Putin got up on the podium and he said, oh, we want peace. Ukraine is like our little sister. What a punk to say such things. When Kiev was the greatest civilized city in all of Europe, Moscow was just had two cows and a dirt road. Like that's the history, the comparative history of the two cities, right? So he says this, arrogantly, our little sister, we want peace with her, right? But that same night, the exact same night, no delay, Holy Spirit shows me this is what he is really doing. And he showed me that he was really furious. He was in his office. He was throwing a tantrum. You could just feel the violent narcissism about him. And he was throwing furniture, and he had an aide in there who was really kind of terrified. And, he's just raging that he didn't get Ukraine. He wanted all of Ukraine, and he didn't get it. So he was outraged. And so he started calling other presidents of, the small neighboring republics, and he called the president of China. And that's what the Holy Spirit showed me. And then the next week, he did. He tried to convene some meeting of all the regional presidents of Asia. And, most of them declined. But a few of them, from Kazakhstan and Chechnya, whatever, they showed up. They're like, hey, what's going on, boss? He said, we got a new plan. So in 2022, we saw that new plan. Poorly executed, possibly. Or everything we're seeing is in exact accordance with the plan of, now listen to this carefully, not of Moscow, but of the global Satanists. Okay, because, I don't want to get into all those prophecies about the Ukraine war, but the Holy Spirit showed me these people are planning war. When Minsk II came out, because Russia broke every promise they made in Belarus, Minsk, the first time, and so they said, we need another agreement. So they met again. And Putin came and gave the same type of speech. Oh, well, there's nothing we want more than peace. And again, the Holy Spirit showed me it's a lie. But this time he showed me some Iranian men. And there are two young men and they're meeting. And one of them says, well, it looks like we're going to have peace. And the other one says, no, I have an uncle who's high up in the military. And he says they're making plans, right? They're planning something. So it's a lie. In 2020, President Trump ordered the assassination of the Iranian Republican Guard general named Qasem Soleimani. This was in January 2020. And the Iranians were furious. And the Holy Spirit showed me a dream that they sent this Armenian assassin to kill him. But the Armenian guy couldn't get a clear shot in any way against Trump because Trump's security team was too good. Like they had kind of anticipated that something might happen and they had put advanced measures. They expanded the radius of where they checked and controlled. And this guy was like, I can't get any shot. And the dream showed that these leaders who sent him would go into hiding. And that did happen later. Like I don't have any fulfillment or evidence of that this Armenian ever showed up, but that the leaders went into hiding, that did happen. There were like three or four shown in the dream and three or four went into hiding of these leaders from the Republican Guard and some elements of the Iranian government. So Iran is hostile toward the United States. They were willing to take out the president. And we see, like, they like to have revenge. So recently, the Israelis, they bombed an embassy and they killed four Republican Guard leaders. So these are the guys that are conducting and controlling the operations to constantly throw rockets at random locations and schools inside Israel. So Iran retaliated with a massive bombardment, more than 300 rockets and drones coming from Iran, coming from Iraq. And it's so interesting that Iraq is with them. But of course, that matches biblical prophecy that, enemy comes across the rivers when they dry up coming from the east. And the only thing across the river east of Israel are Iraq and Iran. That's who's there. So we know that that's going to happen. So this is, again, we're starting to see the Bible. So the one major takeaway that everyone needs to grab is that God is warning us. God knows exactly what's going to happen. And he has a plan for you and for me to be safe. We have to put our trust in God. And as long as we're listening to God, speaking to God, obeying him, and resisting the devil, we should fully expect to be taken care of and to be safe. All right? So, one more dream that I've had, and I know that I had this after 2003. Earlier, I mentioned my deployment to the Middle East. In this dream, I go to a field tent in a desert place, and there are American soldiers there who are in beds, and they have all have their eyes covered. They're like some clean white cloths on their eyes, and they're all just lying still, being still. And I recognize one of these people as one of the very young people that I had deployed with. And I speak to her, and I say, you know, what's happened here? And what's happened is that they were fighting Iranians, and the Iranians used chemical weapons against them. So it causes their eyes to burn, but you can fully recover from it. But you're out of action for three days or a week or 10 days or something. But, and you have to lie still and keep your eyes covered, and you can fully recover. So it's a very effective weapon, right? So anyway, I asked her, she asked me, she says, in the States, are they telling people that we're fighting against Iranians in the field? And I said, no. And she said, that's what we thought, that they're being deceptive, that they're not telling the truth to the American people. So I think it's actually already happening. I think, you know, there are American bases in Syria right now. This is not discussed often, but they do engage Iranians. And there were some exchanges in the news recently where the Americans hit some targets that were Iranian bases supporting Assad's troops. And the Iranians responded. They killed one contractor and injured three soldiers and did some other things, right? So there have already been combat interaction between Iranian soldiers and American. And I will just say that Iran was actively working against the United States during Operation Iraqi Freedom as well. I'll just leave it at that. But that was definitely going on. So now, in 1981, when Worley gave the story, the Holy Spirit was encouraged me to pray that he would teach me how to pray. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And he began to teach me through various sources about deliverance. And he introduced me to Win Worley. And I found the Lake Hamilton website, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And I started listening to all this pages of free audio from Win Worley. I just started listening to all those clips day after day after day for weeks, just listening to all that. And somewhere in there, he talks about how in 1981, he was casting out a demon, and it was a bit of a sticky one. And he started interrogating this demon, and the demon said that he was a principality of the East Coast or something like this. I think that's what it was, the East Coast. And this demon is a mocker. And so he's mocking Win Worley, and he says, oh, we have plans. We're going to start war between the United States and Iran, and we're going to drop a nuclear bomb on Washington, D.C. This is what the demon tells him. So Win Worley and his prayer team, they went against that in the spirit, and they destroyed it. That never happened. But there was a standoff in the Persian Gulf. The Iranians fired some missiles at American warships, and the Americans sank an Iranian something ship, and they hit some oil platforms. So, and everybody thought that war might come, but it didn't. All right. So, and how was that prevented? Prayer, people appealing to God. So people get God to intervene. He sends angels. He breaks things, and our world changes. Prayers effect change in the real world. And this is why we need to have that relationship with God. And you also need to work on our individual behaviors. Why? Because the prayer of a righteous man avails much. And a righteous man is a man who lives in purity, and purity is perfect obedience to God. So you want to know what God is. So if you're living your own best life now, that's not, and that's, you know, because you read some book, that's not God's plan for you. So that's less pure than one might think. So you need to be, you know, if God said, I want you to be a farmer and you're a farmer, boom, perfect. I love that. You're good to go. If God led you to be a nurse, an engineer, an evangelist, as long as you are where God called you and you have this regular communion, be blessed, my friend. Okay. So when Worley and his team, they destroy that in 1981. Now, again, in 2009, there was a Christian podcast or radio show host named Vincent Xavier, and he shared how God gave him this word. Now, here's the thing. Back in August of, 2004, I had recently kind of returned from the Middle East. I'd gone to Kiev. As God told me, I'd find my wife there, and I did. And I was back in Georgia, in the United States, Georgia, in the American Southeast. And he said, I picked a job for you, and you're going to be making this specific amount of money in August. And I was like, okay, well, it's August right now, so I better hustle. You know, this is where, you get off track a little bit, interpreting things in your own head and taking action without careful prayer. So I was like, well, I better send out a bunch of resumes. So I found a bunch of engineering jobs that were an upscale promotion from what I was working at the time. And I sent out a bunch of resumes, and I got like one response, and it was for a job that didn't pay the amount that God said, and would have been a 90-minute drive every morning and night. And I was like, I prayed about it, and God's like, yeah, that's not the job for you. I said, okay. So I just forgot about it. I thought, oh, I must have heard wrong, right? You know, but that wasn't the problem. The problem was I interpreted wrong. The following year in August, again, after prayer, I had accepted a different job that someone offered me out of the blue. And I when I took the job, I wasn't making that amount, but I had negotiated in the hiring process that after 6 months of good service, I would get a pay increase. And I got the pay increase, and there was like an annual bonus at the end, and it came out to exactly the number that God had given me. And I got that pay raise in August of the following year. So the in August part and the pay amount and the new job were all correct. Everything he said was correct, but I misunderstood the year. And so this is what Vincent Xavier did. He thought it's going to happen now in 2009. And maybe it was because so many people began to pray. Because at this point in 1989, they didn't have internet. But now people were activating prayer chains throughout the entire state of Texas. People were activating their local church prayer chains all over the U.S. And people were praying against it. But he said God told – but I listened carefully to what he said. And this is what God told me. And when he's quoting God, there's no year given, only the word October. Like that's what he got, October. And he starts saying, but I believe it will be October 11th. And when I prayed about it, I said, Lord, is this a true word? And he said, yes. And I said, well, when will it happen? And he said, this is what the Holy Spirit told me. They will do this on a new holiday. Remember, so this is 2009. They'll do this on a new holiday so that their people will be out of town. There are no Iranian leaders in Washington, D.C. Their people is the American people, right? An American holiday, an Iranian leader can take any day off he wants. But for the Americans, they can only take it off if there's a federal holiday. So that makes sense that they would make a federal holiday. See, this is how the Holy Spirit is subtly implying this is who the real enemy is. You know, they're going to make a federal holiday. And so I looked up and I was like, well, when are the holidays? And I was shocked to find that there was one right around October the 11th, and it was Columbus Day. And it also happened to be the newest American holiday. But I didn't really consider it to be new, not even on the scale of American holidays. And I thought, well, I guess that kind of fits. But here's the thing. In the last decade, there's been a big push against Columbus. Well, it turns out He was a rapist and a slaver and did a lot of human atrocities. So people said, we don't want to celebrate Christopher Columbus. So they have changed it into Indigenous Peoples Day. So now, in early October of every year, there is a new holiday, very new. In the last, so some states have passed this the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So it is a new holiday, and it's called Indigenous Peoples Day, and it replaces Columbus Day in the first half of October. So now, you know, things are starting to line up, and things that I couldn't have foreseen or predicted are delivered in prayer. And, you know, at the time I was praying, this is, again, interesting. I was praying, I was like, well, Lord, you know, we had 9/11, but what's next? You know, and, you know, you're telling me these are the things that are going to happen, but what's next? And he showed me that the enemy planned to attack the Golden Gate Bridge. And I saw a large cargo ship, and some other people saw this as well. Again, so there's a lot of activity online. There was a popular watchman at the time. He had a forum, and he since closed. He deleted everything. But this, a lot of this conversation was happening there. And so that morning when I was driving to work, I thought, no, I need to skip work, and I need to drive to the San Francisco Bridge. I'm going to stand there, and I'm going to pray. And I did. And there's an abutment. There's a place where you can overlook, and you can take photos and things. And at 6 a.m., I was standing on that concrete block, and I just started praying. And I was trying to break in anything I could think of, and I just insisted the only thing I'm going to do is I'll be here until dusk, but I'm going to pray. And I started praying. And sometime around, I don't know, 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, just something broke. And what was amazing is right at that time, there was a huge – and there, I'd seen no cargo ships that whole morning, but there's a huge cargo ship, one of the largest ones, just all the Connex boxes stacked 10, 12 high on the deck, just cruising toward the bridge, and not under the middle of a span, but extremely close to the middle pier. I just thought, why is he so close? And I started praying, and right as it drew near, that's when I felt it break. I felt this kind of thing before, but it was so strong. It was like a wind in the spirit rushed past me, you know, and it came from out in the bay. And it was, and later I talked to other people who were praying, and they said, yes, we felt it break, and it was at the same time. It was at that same time. I forget exactly what time it was, but everyone at the same time had felt this thing break, like something broke. And I watched that ship just cruise past this pier, you know, again, unnaturally close to the pier. And I just thought, okay, that's that. And now it's so interesting because recently there was a cargo ship hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge on the East Coast, right? So it's like, you know, it gets deflected and broken in one place. And this is the key thing, again, is that it can be broken. The enemy has their plans, but when the people of God intercede, things can change, okay? So in 2009, we prayed that against this war with Iran again, and again, it went away. But the enemy's desire to use Iran has never failed. They're still holding on to it. At some point during Obama's presidency, again, the Holy Spirit showed me this some kind of conflagration involving a bunch of ships, including a lot of small ships in the Persian Gulf, and something bad came out of it involving a drone. Like, he showed me this drone. I didn't understand why. And what ends up happening is Obama lands one of the most advanced, top secret military drones at an airport north of Tehran. He just gives them the tech. Now, the official story is that the Iranians hacked it, but I don't believe that for a second. The Iranians can't hack a U.S. drone. That didn't happen. This giving of technology, the Holy Spirit has been showing me in multiple ways over the decades. Satanists in Germany, France, England, the United States, anywhere else, they are giving this technology, the best technology, to the Iron Triangle, who is Russia, China, Iran. They're called the Iron Triangle. So they are giving that technology to them to destroy the Christians, the U.S., North America, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. They do not like the Christians in those places, because you will find there small enclaves of independent churches, Bible groups, Bible studies, families who know the power and the name of Jesus Christ. And not only are they not afraid to use that name, but they take spiritual food in such acts. And we love to go out and set people free, encourage people, meet them, encourage them to go and find God. And boy, they don't like that at all. And when they make their move, they want there to be the smallest number of real Christians possible. And this is why judgment begins with the church. When the judgment comes on the world, the enemy wants to hit the church first, because that is what they fear. You know, they always want, when you, the big soldiers used to say, they always shoot the big soldier first. You know, when I was in the Marines, they say, oh, it's good to be, you know, the Vietnam vets would say, you know, it's good to be a small guy. Don't worry about that. They always shoot the big guy first. They're afraid of the big guy. You know? So that's the thing. You know, they want to take out the United States first. You know, this is something China was saying in a meeting of generals 20 years ago. And somebody, I think it was Rick Wiles or somebody, got hold of it and was airing it with translation. They were talking about why Germany failed in World War II, and because they hit small nations first. They should have hit big nations first, and they should have hit them to wipe them out in one day, which is, again, paralleling wording from the scriptures, that mystery Babylon the Great is destroyed in one day. Like, that's the plan to destroy the United States. They have a one-day plan, which, of course, obviously means nukes. So, twice in 1981 and 2009, the plans of the enemy to drop a nuclear bomb on D.C. and blame it somehow on Iran, or possibly Iran and Iraq, according to some dreams other people have had, but to blame it on the Muslims and start this war, start this war. And we know the enemy has leaked out before that that's part, I think Albert Pike or someone wrote that part of their end time plan is to start a big war between the Jews and the Muslims, or between the people of God and the Muslims, and in a way that would create the highest number of casualties on both sides to get them to kind of eliminate each other. So the enemy has wicked plans, but we have a mighty God. So I actually have more notes here. There are more things that God has shown me. When I was in the Middle East, we met people who had created a plan to drop a dirty bomb in Washington, D.C. You know, they have plans. They have real plans. The devil has plans, and people who are wicked have picked up on those plans and worked on them towards manifestation. So our job, the warriors for Christ, the body of Christ, is to destroy the works of the enemy. Now, since the war in Ukraine has begun, I prayed some extremely bold prayers. The day before they blew up that ship with all the munitions on it in the Crimea, just standard evening prayers, Holy Spirit moved me. I say, I pray, Lord, that you'll destroy munitions before they're ever used in Ukraine, and even sink ships to the bottom of the sea. And that happened within 12 hours. Boom. Another time I pray that even their most expensive plane will go down. And that happened the next day. Pray boldly. In the beginning of the war, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to write down a prayer I will give you, and you post it on the internet. And I posted this prayer, and everything in that prayer happened. And one of the things was, I pray, Lord, that they'll have a problem, and all of their convoys, their whole logistics train, will get stuck. And that happened. If you remember, there was a 6-kilometer-long train of trucks full of munitions and supplies and food and everything else, soldiers, Russian troops, and they were just stuck. And that was in the prayer that I posted. God gave it to me. So we pray, and we pray in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. Oh, great and mighty King, we pray, Lord, that you will watch over the United States, that you will watch over our brethren, the Christians all throughout this world, on every continent and place, every tongue, tribe, and nation. We pray, Lord, that our brethren will be kept safe, We pray, Lord, that the gifts of the Spirit will go out to the body of Christ, that people will learn that you answer prayers, that their faith and their trust in you to watch over us and to protect us will increase. And in the invincible name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, for the glory of Almighty God on his throne, we command that every work of the enemy to drop a nuclear bomb on Washington, D.C., or any other American city be destroyed. Whatever their logistics support is required, let it all be lost, every shred of it. If they're having vehicles involved, let the vehicles be stolen or destroyed or burst into flames. If they have ships, let those ships sink to the bottom of the sea. If they have aircraft, let those aircraft become inoperative. Let them drop out of the sky with no explanation, that no one will ever even understand how it fell out. We pray, O great and mighty God, that you will protect the lives of the innocent, but that you will destroy the enemy's plans. And we pray, Father, that there will be no war with Iran. We pray, Lord, that there will be no war now at this time against Israel involving Iran. We pray, Father, for peace in Jerusalem. Let there be peace in Jerusalem, Almighty King, and let the people live in peace and even with joy and laughter and happiness. And more than that, Father, we pray, Lord, for revival in Israel. We pray, Lord, that the fig tree produces fruit. We pray, O great and mighty God, that you will bless every evangelist for the kingdom of God working inside Israel or reaching inside Israel by radio or video or any other means, that their words will be strengthened and increased and magnified. We pray, O great and mighty King, that those words will reach people, that you, Lord, will open their hearts and transform them in their prayer time, in their sleep, Lord, that their hearts will move towards you, O great God, that there will be salvation, that the sons of Abraham, Lord, the blood descendants of Abraham, Father, will open their hearts to receive Messiah, to receive salvation. And we pray, O great and mighty God, that your will be done on this earth in all things and in all ways. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, Brother Shannon, I think we can conclude right there.
Good word today. What shall we title this for the archive?
The devil wants war with Iran.
You know, very interesting that the of the missiles that were shot at Israel, the hypersonic ones got through. The others
were hit. How so?
Well, they had seven missiles that were not stopped by the dome system. And those are all the hypersonic make. And I think people are freaking out because they do not have defenses for these hypersonic missiles. Now, you know, the other missiles, fine. The dome did a great job knocking those out. But Iran has been building for years deep underground. And they have now threatened that they're about to release something that nobody has seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So what that is remains to be seen. But we know God's on the throne tonight. And praise God for that, because it's going to get crazy out there this year. What do you think about some of the words about the Shemitah cycle?
I don't know what that is, the Shemitah cycle.
So there's a very interesting interview over on Janie Duvall's YouTube channel. She's been having some great guests lately. She's a former producer for Sid Roth. And there's a guy named Mark Biltz. And he is predicting war in America 2024 to 2026.
And he said, America, he's saying.
In America. War in America in the next 2 years. But at the same time, he says, this is Cliff Note version, that the Great Tribulation will happen in accordance with a Shemitah cycle. And the next, and if it doesn't hit the next Shemitah, then you got to wait another 7 years. So he believes we're probably at least 5 years off from the tribulation at the earliest from starting. Now, he's also predicting war. But he said the next window is going to put us somewhere over there around 2030. which is, interestingly enough, where the World Economic Forum is wanting to bring all their agenda into play. We may have more time than we thought.
You know, that's really interesting, because I don't know why, but I was really detailed on in my notes. I went and found those dates. 1981 with Win Wardley.
Yep.
And then it's 28 years to 2009 with Vincent Xavier's prophecy. And that is 4 times 7. That's 4 7-year cycles later. So maybe there's something to this Shemitah cycle thing. It's 7 years, you said, right?
Yes. And that's okay. The first I'd heard of it. I'm going to send you the link for you to evaluate and see what you can glean from it and see if there's anything useful here for us. I believe that there is. But back to Iran, man, those hypersonic missiles, they've got them. Russia's got them. I think even China may have them, if I heard correctly. But where are hypersonic missiles?
Well, you know, the thing is that the Russians have always said they had those hypersonic missiles. And when they fired them at Ukraine, the Ukrainians did shoot many of them down.
Did they?
And they were laughing, saying these things are not hypersonic. They don't go like you said. So either it's a deception, which you have to always contemplate when you're dealing with Russia. You know,
yes.
Words like abstrus and, you know, ruse, they come from the Rus, the root for Russian.
Oh.
You know, these guys are world famous. Their,
sure.
Their deceptions have altered words in the language, right?
Right.
So, but these, the word that kind of came out was that the people who said they made the hypersonic missiles altered data, like they actually didn't accomplish it, but they got paid. And that is something you can very easily believe about business in Russia.
Right.
That they lied and delivered something subpar and got paid anyway. And so, a bunch of people were fired in Russia. So it could be just, you know, an excellent deception with backup, or it could be true.
Right.
But with 300 missiles, you'd kind of expect something to get through.
Well, you know, one of the air bases, maybe two, got hit in Israel. And, of course, it was a small hit to the airfield. I think they've already patched that up. But Redacted is basically saying, Redacted show with Clayton Moore, a guy he had on the program today. He's saying Iran was telegraphing the fact that, look, they can put that missile anywhere. And they probably can. Not to mention these Shabab missiles that they've got that could be nuclear tipped. Now, I maintain that they've had probably nuclear weapons for a very long time, just as North Korea has. And a CIA agent, it was a retired CIA agent named Harold, who I worked with back in the 90s when I was doing private security up in Northern Virginia on the weekends to make extra money. I worked for the government during the day, and then every weekend I'd go out to this place called Performance Systems International, which was an internet provider back in the day, early 90s. And there was a guy on there who was working the weekend shift with me named Harold, ex-CIA. He had retired. And I said, what are you doing here if you're retired? He said, well, I'm going back to school. And security pays you great money because you could come in here. The task of the job is easy, and I can study and get paid for it. So he was going back to get his degree in chemical engineering. And compartmentalized research is what he was working on, the buckyball, which is basically germ warfare. Said all that to say this. He was telling me back then that it's not an issue of countries having nuclear weapons, but it's having the throw weight, the missiles to get that warhead, in other words, where they want it to be. Of course, North Korea has been working on that very problem, as I think Iran has, and Iran probably has mastered it now. A few years ago, I saw these scary-looking gold-colored missiles that they had out there in this landscape of Iran. It looked like something out of Planet of the Apes. And they have that stuff all over in those mountain complexes, just like Russia. They can move them around on these, tractor trailers.
Yeah.
Position them where they want.
it makes you wonder, as you, I was in closing, I won't take too much of your time other than to say, do you remember the game back in the day called Missile Command?
Yeah, I remember it.
Man, in fact, if y'all don't know what Missile Command is, folks, go to my website. At the very bottom, there's an Atari game. Click on Missile Command. And I'm watching those Iron Dome system shooting those missiles down that Iran fired. It was just like Missile Command, man. And if you're playing that game, as it ramps up in speed and level of difficulty, you get overwhelmed at some point. And you're trying to get all those missiles, and then they just, lob them at you. Can you imagine 10,000 missiles fired at poor Israel? It's going to take...
Yeah, and I think the last time 2 weeks ago when I was on your show, I shared a vision of somebody who watches a massive missile attack come down onto his town. And he knew it was coming. He was like, oh, this is that dream I had. You know, here it comes. And I've had many dreams that show massive missile attacks, including on the United States, where they hit like a number of cities all at once, and it's a surprise, and nobody's expecting it. And the other aspect in that dream was that there were all these young people who were like graduating Bible school as the event happens, and they watch the missiles go overhead, and they're like, oh, it's too late. You know, we waited too long to start evangelizing, and now it's too late, you know. It's night when no one can work, right?
Absolutely. Like, ooh.
It's a sobering reminder that we need to evangelize now. We need to encourage people to get right with God now, to draw near to God, to pray and intercede for your relatives who are backslidden or still atheist or humanist or whatever else. You know, you got to get people out of their drunken philosophies of life and into the hands of a loving God. Who has plans for us for good and not evil. You know, God has a great plan for us, and there's no possible life we could design for ourselves that will ever be better than the one God has for us. One simple reason for that is anything we build of our own hands, it eventually falls away. I've done that.
Yes.
I've built stuff that corroded and fell away because it wasn't God. Or it was God, and I stuck with it too long. You know, he was calling me into something else, and I didn't go. So, you know, we have to see God and be flexible, amenable to whatever he's telling us, that we move when it's time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's going to be critical in these times. And I think the enemy will use that missile command type of strategy to try to overwhelm us at times.
Yes.
And get us just to, you know, quit or give up. And I think it's going to be a lot more difficult in the days ahead. I think that goes without saying, the difficulty level is increasing. Let me read you something very quickly. Rick Bell commenting on my Facebook wall today, where I had said, it's a battlefield. We got 4 speakers on Omega Man, sick or hospitalized. Lift up the program and speakers. He writes back, he said, I'm not sure what changed, but since the total eclipse we experienced in Texas on April 8th, all hell has seemed to break loose. I believe some sort of demonic portals were opened, wider, and darkness poured through. He said, in the last 6 days, I've had one weird occurrence after another happen to me. I was hit by a hellstorm that totaled hundreds of cars and destroyed hundreds of roofs in one small area where I happened to be. My home air conditioning unit went out and is costing thousands to replace. My office computer crashed, and I spent all day trying to get working again. This was just in the last few days, plus the dreams I've been having since the eclipse are violent and demonic. And he asked the question, is anyone else experiencing these kind of intense attacks? He said, I'm not crazy, and I've been in deliverance for over a decade, but these attacks are at a new level. And I agree. I think it's war in the spirit, and war on the ground is coming and intensifying. And so we certainly need to be ready and listen to the Lord Jesus Christ and move as he tells us to move and whatever he asks us to do, because that's the only protection, folks. Don't put your faith and trust in the government. I mean, like, governments will collapse. Monetary systems will collapse. Even Social Security and benefits to many will collapse and probably trigger riots, as some of the prophecy has been. So it's going to be an interesting year. Now, at the same time, we don't fear.
Correct.
We got to fear the Lord. Not fear man. You know, the fearful not inherit the kingdom of God. So we've got to remember that. We don't want to stay in the fear mode. And I battle with that much in my life, so that's a message to myself here too. But it's a time to pray up like never before.
Yes.
Now, Robert, I want to thank you for coming on. What would you like to title the show again for tonight?
The Devil Wants War with Iran.
Okay. Also, I want you to tell people about your ministry. You're a book author. You've written many books. You're an evangelist in Sweden. How do people make contact with you? Give out any contact info you want. How can they support your ministry?
So, since 2008, I've been publishing on YouTube. And my channel there is No Jesus, No Peace. That's K-N-O-W both times. No hyphens, underscores, just one word. No Jesus, No Peace. And I have so much prophecy on there. A lot of those things have already come true, and I don't even remember all the videos I have there, but it's more than 500 different things, and it's all stuff from God, so there's a rich resources there. I have a blog, dreamtraining.blogspot.com. If you have the gift of dreaming or you're interested in dream interpretation, that's a place to go. I talk a lot about dreaming there. There's a lot of instruction there. The purpose is to train, but also to share messages that the Holy Spirit gives me for everyone. So there's that. And on Facebook, it's Robert A. Avila. And my icon is a little blue cartoon figure. It's an angel pointing at a map of the United States. And I like to fellowship with people there. It's a nice community on Facebook if you pray before you accept invitations, right? So, and for books, all my books are on Amazon. They're on VN.com, on Kobo, and Google Books as well. You can find them all there. There's a free book I want everyone to get. It's called Four Prayers for the End Time. You absolutely want to get that book and read it. It's a short read. It'll take you less than 30 minutes to read all of it. But it's four prayers the Holy Spirit gave me to help people increase their faith to draw near to God. He said, share this with anyone who wants to survive what is coming. So the gist is, put your trust in God. Draw near to God. Pray for the gifts of the Spirit, right? So, and I have many other books there. I'm working now on a fourth prophetic fiction book. It's a book based on a dream. The Holy Spirit shows me these things. He says, I want you to write this into a book. So then I do. This one, he told me, is to be free. So when it's done, it's going to be, I'll put it up and it will be free download as well. Paperback, of course, there's printing costs. So I minimize that, but so you can get it for as cheap as possible, but you'll have to pay a little something for print books. For donations, I don't know why, but since I started printing books, people don't so much donate. I remember some other minister started selling gold, and he said everyone stopped giving. He said, we're not selling any gold. Nobody's buying it. He's like, don't think, oh, he has money from selling gold. We don't. And if you think I have money from selling books, I don't. Okay, the books, they sell at this point. Of course, I know that God has shown me that they will do very well in the future. But at this point, they're selling like one book every 2 days. You know, I sell 15 books. Well, that actually sell. The free ones, praise God, people take them, and I'm really glad for that. And I want to make more of them free as well. So, but yeah, donations on PayPal. My email is robertavila@email.com. It's not Gmail. It's email, like electronic mail, the short form, email.com. And Cash App, it's $ No Jesus, No Peace, the same as my YouTube channel. And those are all the main ways to get the word of God that he is sending through me, and to fellowship with me on Facebook.
Fantastic. You're doing a great job there, brother. And love and appreciate you. What's the weather like in Sweden this time of year?
You know what? It's actually sunny right now. Yeah, the children are playing outside. It's the first time this year.
All right.
I went into another room because they're having so much, you know, laughing outside. I thought it was picking up on the show in the background. So
fantastic.
But yeah, we had a very long winter, very long. Just every time the snow melted, a new snow poured down 6 inches. Like the next day, like no mercy winter.
Get me your next date, and let's do another program. Thank you for coming on today and being flexible with me. Love and appreciate you, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, brother.
God bless.
Love you. Bye.
Folks, that was Robert Avila, and I encourage you to go to my Facebook page, or my web page, OmegaManRadio.com, and if you're at the website, go all the way down to the bottom, click on Missile Command, get an idea of what it's like trying to stop these inbound missiles. Love you all, folks. See you tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern. God bless.